Morning. I thoroughly enjoyed that, and I've actually known Daniel longer than camp. I knew about him and met him as he was thinking about taking this church. I tried to tell y'all not to do it, but you wouldn't listen to me, so now you have to live with him. But he and Sherry have been excellent, just close friends. Now, my wife and I missed 1 year. When I stepped away from pastoring, I didn't go to camp that year, and they said it was dead as could be. And the reason I keep going back now, I'm the senior pastor, and I don't have to do nothing I don't want to do. I get out of all the pies in the face and walking guard duty and all that kind of stuff, but it would not be, my wife and I have been married almost 47 years, it would not be summer without youth camp. And we went as teenagers, we went as counselors, we went and took Lighthouse Baptist for many years out of Rocky Mount, Lighthouse Baptist out of Brookneal, for about four or five years, don't remember. And so we've enjoyed it, and we've enjoyed being what God has called us to do. As you folks know, I don't sleep a lot. I really don't. I have a problem with that. I got up this morning, I decided to paint a wall in the bedroom. Got that wall painted, it was red. When we bought the house, the wall was red. We don't like red. So I painted it blue. And about an hour later, I was looking over the message that I had really believed that God would have me to deliver tonight. And God changed the complete direction about 5:30 this morning. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to stand, if you're able to stand. And we're going to go to Psalms 107. And I'm going to read four verses. We'll have prayer, and then I'll take you to the main portion of Scripture. Psalms 107, if you would, tonight. That's almost in the middle of your Bibles. I want you to look at verse 8. The Scripture says, "All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Then if you jump down to verse 15. "All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Down to verse 20. 21. "All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." And then finally in verse 31, "All that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." Father, we thank You tonight for Valley. We thank You, Lord, that it was You long ago that established it and allowed Daniel and his family and these good people just to be a part of it. We pray, Lord, as this meeting continues on, that You might move in a special way. Lord, You know what I want. You know what these people want. You know what the pastor wants, Lord, and we plead with Thee to visit us again. Have Your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. And then if you go over to Psalms, that was just kind of the jumping off point. I want to take you to Psalms 138. Psalms 138, and while you're going there, no, I did not forget. God is good.
All the time.
No, you can do better than that. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time. I hope before you leave, you really do truly believe that. I am with Brother Daniel tonight. I have known Pastor Kahn since he was, 13, 12. And I'm not but 15 right now myself, so you know. But I could tell you some stories about camp with him that you would run him out of the church tonight. And his daddy was an independent Baptist preacher too. And vice versa. I calmed down after I got married. I couldn't have no fun after I got married. But I've known Pastor Kahn for a long time, and I'm honored that he chose, along with this other pastor, to come tonight. In Psalms 138, I want to read all of this. The Scripture says, "I will praise Thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto Thee. I will worship toward Thy holy temple and praise Thy name for Thy loving kindness and for Thy truth. For Thou hast magnified Thy word above all Thy name. In the day when I cried, Thou answered me and strengthened me with strength in my soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise Thee, O Lord, when they hear the words of Thy mouth. Yes, they will sing in the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, yet hath He respect unto the lowly, but the proud He knows afar off. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, Thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth Thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Forsake not the words of thine own hands. Thus reading all of Psalms 138. As I was thinking this morning and the Holy Spirit was dealing with my own heart, how many of us really praise God? Most of us in church will come to the house of God and whatever song the song leader tells us to sing or leads us in or these specials that we hear, that's basically the praise. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands, but did you praise God today? How many of you jumped out of bed this morning and said, "All right, it's 15 degrees outside and 40 mile an hour winds. Thank Jesus." Had a little trouble, huh? The Bible says, "In all things praise Him." Now, I thank the Lord that it was cold outside. And I thank the Lord, as I was painting that wall, that I could turn the heat up and didn't have to go outside. Amen. But some folks had to go out. I will sing His praises. In our churches today, we generally will sing, the same hymn over and over and over. And that's all right. If that's what the Lord leads you to do, sing that hymn. But most of us, when the pastor says, "Let's stand and let's sing," all that men would praise the Lord for His wonderful works toward men. You know God wants to do something in your life tonight. You know God wants to do something in this church tonight. And if we just get out of the way, He'll do it. We have the idea that we're going to bring revival. And I think I've told you, I've been here 20, 30, 40 times over the years, that revival will start with me and with you as individuals. When you draw a circle, get in the middle of that circle and don't get out until God answers your prayers. And sometimes our prayers are very selfish. "Lord, I want. God, give me." And we have needs and God will provide those needs. But all that men would learn to praise the Lord for His goodness toward men. Yet we have missed that tonight. God's done so much for us. I think I was telling Pastor Boone, maybe I didn't, that right now I have more income than I had when I was pastor. And I know it's going to be like this. I might have quit a long time ago. I told you folks Sunday. Now don't line up after church. But whatever, if anything, that you give tonight, what you gave Sunday goes in a special fund, and Nan and I are able to help our neighbors and our friends and our family who are having a hard time getting over a bump. Have you ever had a hard time getting over a financial bump? Oh, you bunch of lying folks. I mean, has there been a time when it's been difficult for you financially? Amen. And you went to the Lord and you said, "God, I need some help." And if you were fair with God, if you were honest with God, God will help you. God will take care of you. And we have learned, my wife and I, that the more we give God, the more He brings in. Amen. It's absolutely unreal. And we've learned to praise God. Now, we've been down to where we haven't had nothing. When I was in college, I would pray, "Lord, there's no food in the cupboard. There's no gas in the car. I mean, God, You called me to preach now. Would You mind supplying?" And He never, ever failed. And He's not failing now. Some of us think that God is a bank. We can go to Him anytime. God may want to use you in a special way tonight, and it might be with your voice. Let me take you to Romans chapter 3. There's four things I'm going to show you, and I'm not going to use the word hurried. I hate that in church. I know most of you have to go to work tomorrow. I don't. Unless I get up and paint another room. But Romans chapter 3, how long has it been since you said thank you to Jesus for this? In Romans 3, and most of you know it by heart, verse 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference." If you're a Jew, if you're a Greek, if you're a Gentile, if you're black, white, green, American, Russian, German, whatever you are, there's no difference as far as God's concerned. Because He says in verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being justified by His grace, look at this, the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation or substitute through faith in His blood to declare the righteousness for the remissions of the sins that are past. Through His blood. I get so tired of hearing television preachers, and I'll turn them off, that if you'll do this, God will do that as far as your salvation is concerned. The only qualification you have to be saved tonight is to believe Jesus if the Spirit of God is pulling at your heart. A lot of people will make professions of faith. They'll run to the altar, they'll say the sinner's prayer, and then they'll go out and, excuse the expression, they'll live like hell, smell like hell, and act like hell. They didn't get saved. They just made a profession. And I got some great news for you tonight. There's a big difference between profession and possession. Big difference. Jesus did it all. The only reason that I'm going to heaven is because of what Jesus did for me on the cross of Calvary. That's the only reason. I don't deserve it. I deserve hell just as you do. But the only reason I'm going is because of what He did. The Bible said in 1 John 1 and verse 7, through the blood. If you have these books tonight, we're going to do something different. Have you got songs and hymns there in your pews? If you don't, fake it. We're going to praise the Lord tonight. We talk about His blood. We hear about His blood. We say we believe that His blood's been applied. But in the song on page 10, we're going to sing one verse. We're going to do it a cappella. That means you got to help me. I'm Barney Fife. You're the real singers, all right? On page 10, near the cross, here we go. Jesus, keep me near the cross. There I pray, precious fountain, free to all a healing stream flows. From Calvary's mountain. Come on. In the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the river. You see, Jesus will keep you near the cross if the blood has been applied to your heart. Amen. Amen. I don't worry about going to hell tonight. I do concern myself, as I told you Sunday, that there's been opportunities in my life when I could have witnessed to people about the blood and I didn't do it. And one of them was one of the best friends I had in Southeast Asia. I told you about the black man that was my buddy. Cold, jet black. I mean, but we were like this. We bathed in the bomb crater holes together. We ate together. We slept next to each other together. We were on guard duty together. He would sleep. I would awake. I would awake and he would sleep, whatever. He was the best friend, but I never ever told him about the blood. And one of the last things that gasped out of this black soldier's mouth is, why didn't you tell me? You told me you were a Christian. And I'm about to face an awesome God. Why didn't you tell me? I have to live with that. It's under the blood. But if he never had that opportunity, and here's what it is. The reason you may not be winning people to Jesus is because you're not living near the cross. And if you're not living near the cross, nobody can see the blood that's supposed to be applied to your heart. I will sing his praises. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness toward men. For most of us, all of us, God has been good to us. God is good all the time, but we are human beings and we give God that excuse, and rather than praise the Lord, we complain to God. Lord, let me tell you about that preacher Sunday. He was really crude. Well, let me tell you about the pastor. You don't have to tell God about the pastor. You need to pray for the pastor, but you don't need to talk about the pastor. And his family, and his wife. Somebody say amen, give me an amen. Amen. Because you're near the cross. Every time somebody walks up to the preacher or his wife and says, I hate to tell you this, and he's thinking, I wish you wouldn't. But you'll dump on him and you'll let him have it. Lady went out of a family, went out of a funeral one time. I preached the Word of God. I preached the salvation at funerals and weddings and wherever I'm at. And they said, our entire family was ready to come to your church. Their mother came. Saintly woman, loved the Lord. We just had a great time together. And I mentioned to them John 3:36. That if you're not saved, you stand under condemnation already. That means if you're here tonight and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, you stand under the condemnation of God now. I don't want you to get saved because of what I say. I want you to get saved because of what the book says and what the Spirit's telling you. Amen? It's not up to me to save you. It's up to me to make it clear. So stay near the cross. Then if you look over at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26. Through the blood. Hebrews. What did I say? Chapter 10. I'm not there yet. Is it in the New Testament? Yeah, he's right. It is. There it is. Hebrews 10 and verse 26. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. If you hear the Word of God and you reject it, there is no other sacrifice for you. Amen. Jesus is not going to die on the cross of Calvary ever again. He died one time. Now, in the days of Christ, and probably for 500 years after the death of Christ, this emblem that we have in our churches, this emblem was an emblem of shame. The Savior hung on that cross. Now, if you're here tonight and of Catholic persuasion, that's up to you. But I'm telling you one thing. I'm glad my cross is empty.
Amen.
My Savior is not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He's living in my heart. He's sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. And He's coming again.
Amen.
He said, watch. That means be active. When's the last time you looked in Scripture? And when is the last time you praised God and said, Lord, I thank you. I have the privilege to watch for you to come. He may come tonight. He may come tomorrow. He may come in the next few minutes. And He may come in 100 years. Divine grace is very clear in the Word of God. It is a deliberate, intentional rejection in verse 26. And if you deliberately, intentionally reject, then you are forever lost. Well, just what is it that brings me there? Well, if you take your songbooks again and go to page 23, I'll show you. We're just going to sing one verse there. We're going to praise the Lord tonight, whether you want to or not. Even if you can't sing, open up and let her fly.
Amen.
Verse 23, page 23. This song says, there is power in the blood. How many of you believe there's power in the blood of Jesus? Wait a minute. How many of you really believe there's power?
Amen.
Then I want you to sing like there's power in the blood. Verse 1. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
We got so much to thank Him for tonight.
Amen.
All the men would thank Him and praise Him for His wonderful works toward us. Guess why you're breathing?
Amen.
God. Guess why you're walking? God. Guess why you hear and smell and see? When is the last time you said, Lord, I just thank you for these ugly clothes that I got on? Lord, I don't like this food, but I reckon I'll eat it when millions are starving to death.
Amen.
We complain to God. You know what my mama used to say? Son, if you don't like it, that's okay. But don't ever talk with your mouth full. In other words, learn how to be grateful and thankful for what you have. I have thought, I guess it's all right. He was been my friend all these years. He may not be after tonight. But I've thought about Pastor Conn many a time the last 2 years. I did internship. Actually, I did pastorate and internship in Brookneal. When I stepped down and went into the ministry I'm doing now, they said, can you recommend a cheap preacher to us? I said, I got just the guy. Now they said, do you, pastors or anybody that can fill the pulpit? And I said, why don't you call Mike Conn? Mike at that time was not pastoring. They called him and he drove from Roanoke to Brookneal. If I'm not mistaken, that's about 82 miles, one way, three times a week for over 2 years. He didn't stay there because he didn't feel like the Lord wanted him there, but he did what God told him to do. And they did not accept Mike Conn on what I said. They accepted Mike Conn by what God said. Some of us have a real problem tonight. In our church where we attend, Clearbrook Baptist, when we're not in the pulpit, there's three retired pastors and three wanting to be pastors in college. And one is the pastor and he's 28. The 28-year-old pastor has no problem with men of God sitting in his congregation. But some preachers do. Oh, who's he here to get? Who's he going to take out of my church tonight? I even had a preacher ask me one time in Rocky Mount. He came to the morning services after service. He said, you got anybody you don't want? I said, yeah. Well, are you starting the First Hellion Church of Rocky Mount? And he said, well, I'll take them. I said, wait and let me see what God will do with them. You know, folks, we have a real problem tonight. We just don't know how or desire to praise the Lord. There's power in the blood. Amen. Near the cross is what the Lamb of God said. Grace is not cheap, but it is free. And then praise Him. There was a time when sin was anticipated. There will be a time. It won't even be a memory. A great preacher said these words, so great I thought I wrote them in my Bible, and said it back in July the 20th, 2008. Either your sins are blotted out, or your name is blotted out. Amen. You know a great preacher said that? Right there. Either your sins are blotted out, or your name's blotted out. And when God opens His book one day, and you say, wait a minute, Lord, I went every night to the meetings. I sang as loud as anybody in the church. I couldn't sing, but I gave it a shot. And Jesus opens the book, the Lamb's Book of Life, and He doesn't find your name. It's been blotted out forever. And He didn't blot it out. You blotted out when you said no to Him for the last time. A lot of good people who call themselves Christians that are going to hell. Because they're trying to do the best they can. God doesn't want your best. He just wants you to surrender and let Him take over. Then the best comes. Then the best comes. A time when sin was anticipated. God knew. God allowed sin in the universe. God knew what was going on. Nothing's overtaken the Lord. And why did God allow this? God is even using sin to His purposes that one day every mouth shall be stopped. And every knee shall bow, including Satan. And every angel and every human being that's ever lived. One day our knees will bow and we'll call Him Lord. But we who know Him as our Savior, forever in His presence, we that do not are banished into hell forever. I just can't believe in that. I've had people tell me that at least the last 15 years, I guess it's the age we live in, I don't care for it. You know, you scare a lot of people off talking about hell. I'd rather you get mad and never speak to me again, then stand before a living God and say, I had the opportunity to warn you, the bridge is out, there is an eternal hell, and I didn't see anything about it. It is real, it is forever, and you better make it right with God before it's too late.
Amen.
I'm not trying to scare you, it's what the Scripture says. If you take your hymns again, and some of you are really going through a difficult struggle right now, and you look over 119. Everybody knows this one. 119. I don't know if pastor's ever done this, but I'm glad the Lord led this way tonight. Amen. Psalms 119, the first verse, till the storm passes by. In the dark of the midnight have I oft hid my face, while the storm howls above me and there's no hiding place. Mid the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. Come on, children. Till the storm it passes over, till the thunder it sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. Hold me fast, let me stand in the hollow of thy hand. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. You know, I feel led to say this. I've been blessed. I may look stupid, but I'm not. And I've had the same woman come May the 9th for 46 years. Amen. Our marriage has almost been perfect. It would have been if she'd done everything I told her. All right. But I remember about 3.5 years ago when Pastor Kahn, the Lord said, Dixie, it's time to come home, only in her early 40s. And slipped out of this life onto heaven's shore. He's still raising that last child called Luke. He's a pastor. No matter what happens, Mike, you always will be. I had a deacon in Faith Fellowship, Mike Vest, remind me years ago, once a preacher, always a preacher. And I'm sure that Pastor Kahn tonight, the storm clouds have been heavy on occasion over these last few years, because all he wants to do is pastor. All he wants to do is to be in the will of God. And I'm sure there have been some nights Mike said, Lord, you know what I want? Aren't you listening? But if you trust me, and you believe that song, Pastor Mike, and the rest of you folks, you believe that song? Sooner or later, the storm will pass. Like that cold wind yesterday. Man. I didn't mind the cold, but the wind, it just cut clean through to the bone. And you'd watch the news and they say, 24 more hours of it, 36 more hours of it, 12 more hours of it. Then they promise us a warm weekend. So you hold on to that. It's going to pass. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm glad it didn't snow Monday. I knew Mike would preach in here, and I knew if it snowed, he wouldn't show up, money or no money. No, he'd have been here. Wouldn't have been nobody else, but he'd have come. What storm's in your life tonight? Some of you doubt that precious blood. Some of you doubt that you're saved. You know why you doubt? Because the farther you get from God, the more you're going to doubt. But the closer you stay to Him, the more assurance you have. When I was a young teenager, I got saved at the age of 12. In Little Mountain Baptist Church years ago. And I first started going to church and I was saved, but the only reason I was going to church, I found out there was a difference between boys and girls, and I liked the girls. I'd have a different one. I told you all this about 2 years ago. I was so famous with girls then, I carried a box, cigar box around, and the girls wanted to know what it was, and it was friendship rings you could buy them for 39 cents a change. And I'd give every girl one. I'd give them one until they found out what I was doing. Boy, did I get in trouble. Well, it was a storm then. And I sat under a strong Bible-believing preacher, Jerry Young. He's retired and living in Carolina now, 85 years old. And I grew under him. I drove buses. I started teaching Sunday school class when I was 15 years old. Last summer, I was in a place called Luray, or just over the mountain from Luray. And there was a young pastor there, and he's 52 years old. He was a junior in my first class. He now pastors that class and works for the CIA. You're talking about a good feeling? It wasn't anything I did. But something happened to Tim Dyke, and it stuck. And all these years later, he's still serving the Lord. But in that little class back there in 1965, he said, "I remember you preaching about hell. And it frightened me so bad, I went home and talked to my mother, and my mother led me to the Lord." He literally got scared into heaven. He's still serving the Lord. Oh, that men would learn to praise the Lord for His goodness. And then finally, I take you to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. And before the pastor says anything, that's also found in the New Testament. This is probably one of the most profound, but they all profound. But I mean, every time I read this, I just get a whoopee fit. Now, what's a whoopee fit? That's a Baptist hallelujah, praise God. In chapter 2, some of you know where I'm heading, verse 9. "But as it is written," and it is written in Isaiah 64:4. "But as it is written," look at this, "eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." We can't even imagine what God's got us waiting for us on the other side. You know, the scripture says the only one that's mentioned by name was Lazarus. He died. And they buried him, and he'd been dead 4 days. And when Jesus told him he was coming back, and I expect the Lord told him, "Lazarus, you're going to have to leave paradise and go back up there." I don't expect Lazarus wanted to come. But he wanted to make his master happy. He'd do what Jesus said. He can't even imagine what's waiting for us. You think this is good? You think we sing good tonight? Wait till all of us get around the throne and we sing perfect pitch. It's like these girls tonight. That desire's there to honor the Lord, to praise the Lord, that God would revive us. I think tonight one of the reasons revival is not coming to our local churches is that we just go through the motions. We hear sermons on hell and heaven and all of this, and we get excited. Man, that was a great message, and it was. And then we go home, and nothing has changed. If you leave here tonight, and God has spoke to you, and you're not changed, it's not my fault. My fault's to tell you about the Word of God. I remember the pastor telling me, or maybe it was Brother Mike, I don't know, one of them, about a young man or a young woman that made professions of faith while I was preaching. This Brother Andrew saved me. Of course, these preachers told him I didn't, and I don't have that power. And if I did, some of you I wouldn't want to save. That's just fact. You know what the young people told the preachers? "We just professed that to get them off our backs. I'm not here to make you feel guilty. That's not my job. I'm not stepping on your toes tonight. That's not my job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job's to preach the Word of God, step back, and let the Holy Spirit do what He wants to do. If you come to this altar on my invite, on behalf of Jesus, if you come for any other reason than that God has told you to come, you just as well stay in your seat. You come because the Spirit of God moves you. Because the Spirit of God speaks to you. He wants us to press on. You know why? The best. The best is yet to come. And a quick illustration about the resurrection of the Lord, and they went in the tomb, and there laid the burial cloth, and there laid the napkin that covered His face by itself. Now, I've done a lot of reading and studying, and I ain't the smartest cracker in the barrel. But I did a little studying on that, and according to Jewish tradition, I'm going over here to Jew Boone's house, and I'm going to have dinner. He's a Jew, and I'm a Jew. But I sit at the table, not like my American friends. They just keep eating it, and then they eat a little bit more. But as a Jew, I'm just going to, I've had enough for now. I'm just going to fold my napkin, and I'm going to lay it beside the plate. And that will tell Mrs. Jewish Boone not to take my plate. I'll be back. I'm not finished. The napkin was laying by itself. Jesus had finished the work that God had sent him to do. But it wasn't quite finished. You know when he's finished? When he comes to get his church again. Amen. Then it's finished. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. One more hymn, page 51. I love this one. Any of you folks that are over the age of 30, you will like it too. Page 51. I have heard of a land on that faraway strand. 'Tis a beautiful home of the soul, built by Jesus on high, where never shall die. 'Tis a land where we'll never grow. Come on. Never grow old. Never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. Never grow old. Never grow old. In a land where we'll never grow old. Now, if you're under the age of 20, this don't involve you. But when you get as old as I am, or when you really get as old as Pastor Boone, what don't droop sags? Yeah, gravity takes over after 20. Women get the big hips and the men get the big bellies. Hair goes. Eyes go. Hearing goes. Huh? What'd you say? Stanley's giving $5,000 tonight. Bet he heard that. But there's coming a place and a time where time will be no more and we'll never, ever grow old again. I don't think there's any gray hair in heaven. I think the first time Pastor Boone met me, he said was at camp. And the first thing he asked Pastor Conn, who is that guy? And Mike said, what guy? He said, that guy with the stuff on his face. He has a goatee tonight because of me. I look good and he wanted it. Never going to grow old. Going to heaven. And we're going to learn how to praise the Lord. Let's learn how to do it before we get there. We're afraid of the Pentecostals. And we're afraid of the Baptists. And we're afraid of everything but God. We don't want anybody to think we're going to have a fit tonight. Some of y'all had a fit, you'd have to bury the others. I don't see why we're so silent when it comes time to praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. That's what the psalmist said in 138. That we might learn to praise God for His goodness to men. Father, I thank You I'm not living in Syria where millions have died in the last few years. I thank You I'm not living in Russia where this is not possible. We have so much to thank Him for. The question is, do we? And as God was speaking to my heart, and Brother Gore let me have the use of this book, and I said, I don't know. Is that what God wants? I had a praise message, and I preached it at Faith Missionary, and I preached it at Clear Book, and God just blessed it. And I couldn't find that message today. God made me do it all over again. I know it's a different route than what you've been used to, but there's power in the blood. Amen. Stay near the cross of the Lord Jesus. The storm that you're going through, it will pass. Hold on to the Lord. Trust God. As a matter of fact, you don't even have to hold. Just put your hand in His hand and He'll do the hold. And then we're going to a place where we never grow old. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I thank the Lord for every opportunity I had to preach. I can remember Pastor Kahn, Gerald Kahn, he's in heaven now, as he began to deal with almshouses. When he got near the end, he didn't recognize the only son he had. His memory was gone. He was one of the prince of the preachers in the last 75 years, in my opinion. And all he wanted to do toward the end was what he always wanted to do, preach. That's all he wanted to do. Some of you tonight just want to sing. You're not up here to sing for Pastor Boone. He appreciates you using your gift. And if God's given you that gift, then you give it all you've got for the Lord. If God told you to get in the choir, you get in the choir. It's time to stop holding grudges, misgivings, and hurt feelings in our hearts. That's why we don't praise Him like we once did. Father, I thank You tonight, Lord, publicly for Daniel Boone. I thank You, Lord, for Sherry who stood by his side all these years. I thank You tonight, Lord, for my own dear wife. Lord, we know tonight that we probably would not be where we are without them. You gave us those helpmeets to help us. I think of my pastor friend, Lord, who waits upon You, that You'll open the doors for Mike. And Lord, I ask for this congregation, whether they're members or not, will learn to praise You with all their heart for the goodness that You've given. For indeed, God, You're good all the time. You're a great God. You're my God. Have Your way tonight and save that individual who's never had the blood applied. Deal with that one, Lord, who's going through the storm. Help them to know, Lord, the best is yet to come. Your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen.